good.
Well, great. No, that's a good turnout. I'm pleased to hear that.
All right. Everybody's here, and it is 5 o'clock. Good evening. I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. It is August 10th, 2021 at 5 p.m., and we are meeting once again via video virtual conference call. Just to update you, we made the call last week to go back to video teleconference for two reasons. One is you've seen the emails from John about the positive COVID case at the office. And the second, Tillamook County is currently in a quite a community spread as opposed to COVID. We had in Tillamook County 124 cases last week. 79 of them were over last weekend. And there were another 27 cases today. Last week's numbers puts the positivity rate at 17.4%. The highest we've seen in Tillamook County since COVID started. The previous highest level was about 8%. So things are not looking good for us in Tillamook County at this point regarding community spread, and therefore we are on video teleconferencing. I'll call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Don Carlton.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item 3A, the business meeting minutes of July 6, 2021. Any corrections to the minutes?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the business meeting minutes of July 6, 2021.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of July 6, 2021. All in favor say aye. Raise your hand, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The meeting minutes for the board, or the summary for the board workshop on July 21st, 2021. Any corrections to that summary? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Okay, I'll move that we approve the July 21st, 2021 board workshop summary.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the July 21st, 2021 board workshop summary. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion is approved. It passes unanimously. Thank you. Item 4A, accounts.
Currently, I've got a number on my screen of the 12089460192. Who is that? Oh, just left. Oh.
Yes, Rochelle?
I believe that's Ray Browning.
All right. Item 4A, financial reports, accounts payable for 7/15 and 7/31/2021. Any questions on the payables? Yes, Tom?
I only had one question. Excuse me. On July 30th, we had several payments, of minor payments and or credits from Cascade Columbia Distribution. And they were identified as dumb drum credit. What does that refer to?
I'm pretty sure that refers to the drum credits for our chemicals, primarily that we use at the drinking water treatment plant. Some of them are chemicals we use to clean the membranes and so forth. Michelle or Rochelle, if I'm mistaken about that, let me know, but I'm quite certain that's probably what they are.
Okay.
So drums are, you know, the barrels they come in, is that, that's why they're identified that way?
It's a refund because we send the drums back.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. That's all I had.
So it's like a model deposit.
Yeah.
I've got some. I got to get
the record. Yes, Cameron.
It's on page 2 of 6. Michelle, managed to deliver water samples. There's like 2 of them. What was that all about? Don't we usually mail it a lot?
Yes, Michelle, please go ahead.
Thank you. Normally, we send those out UPS, and UPS had a disaster and broke our samples, and we needed to get them tested, so I drove them to Salem, and I was reimbursed mileage. There's also some reimbursement for Ray's farewell party. The mileage to deliver water samples was split in half.
Right, from the 2 departments, right. Also on 2 of 6, there's the annual fire inspection and smoke detector replacement. Do they also do our fire extinguishers? Do a test on those?
No. IconoPro comes out and tests our alarms, and we have to pay for those tests. Our fire sprinklers are done from a specialty company out of Tillamook.
Okay.
They're out of McMinnville.
How many alarm systems do we have?
The whole building is alarmed. Shops are alarmed. Horn Creek's alarmed. There's quite a few. I mean, there's...
Pump houses?
What?
No.
Pump houses?
No.
No.
Went down at the airport or any other buildings? Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Then on to 3 of 6... Pacific Coast Lock and Safe, deadbolts, knobs, and keys. What are we replacing? Those aren't the locks that got cut off.
No. Go ahead.
The deadbolts were for a new door that got replaced when we did our maintenance. When we replaced all the siding and stuff, we replaced a couple doors that were rotten. The deadbolts go inside the doors. The rekeying was because at one point we had a key that broke off in a lock, and so we replaced that one.
Okay, and then a question on Prochman, the mileage and travel time for the authority manager. Now, I thought that was all together instead of paying separate for motels and or whatever.
It can't be because he gave me receipts later on. He didn't know how much mileage he would have or how many days he was going to stay in a hotel ahead of time, and we paid everything else ahead.
Oh, okay. And then down Sandy River Marketing for uniforms. Mm-hmm. How many uniform companies we have? Because I saw on a couple other pages there was also more uniform stuff.
We buy shirts, sweatshirts, vests, from Sandy River Marketing. We buy jeans from Tillamook Creamery, from the feed store.
Okay, and then now on, the farm store, I see there.
Yeah.
Okay, got that. 5 of 6, we have 3 landscaping companies, Oregon.
Yeah.
Finest Gardens, Coyote, and then there was another one?
Yes. So, Coyote Gardens, Inc., they do the, what is the word for Horn Creek?
Mitigation.
Mitigation, thank you. They do the mitigation at Horn Creek. Victory Bee Gardens was a part of Coyote Gardens, and they split off and made their own company, and we were unhappy with their work, so they finished out a month, and we hired Oregon's Finest Gardeners, and they are fantastic.
Okay.
and much more reasonable.
So we're just down to the two, the one that does the stuff out at Horn Creek and the stuff that does there at the plant.
Yes.
Is there any other places that they do? That's it?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, on the salary, I think it's Constant. He's our new employee. He's the one at the top of the page.
Go, please.
The new fellow that stayed, the other one ran.
It's correct. Okay. He's new. Mm-hmm.
All right. How's he doing? Good?
Doing quite well. He's, got a lot to learn, as I do. I think he's coming along.
Right on. All right, that's all I got.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way on.
Did you call on me?
Yes, I saw your hand up. Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll, move that we approve the accounts payable for July 15th and July 31st of 2021.
I second the motion.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for July 15th and July 31st of 2021. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Payables have been unanimously approved. Thank you. Any questions on the fiscal year 2021? Hearing none, any questions on fiscal year 21-22? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, the manager's report. Michelle and John? John and Michelle?
Yeah, so I'll start out, and Michelle can fill in any gaps. I'm pleased to report that we had no violations in July of 2021. I don't think we had any SDCs last month. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. We reported last month, gave an update about the delinquent customers, and as I think you all know, we had a moratorium in place against shutoffs and some interest forgiveness. It looks like we're gaining some ground on getting those past due accounts paid. We still have, I believe we have about 14 customers outstanding to the tune of about $10,000. We have not been contacted by these folks for any of our repayment plans that we had put together. We hope we hear from them in the next week. Wanted to report that we have a new employee starting, I believe, on the 23rd. His last name escapes me right now. First name Jason. He's coming to us from Alaska.
Stewart?
Yes. I believe that's correct. Yes. And he's coming to us from Alaska. We interviewed him actually before before I came on board officially, and he is I think he's going to be a great fit for us. He'll be filling one of our senior positions, our operator 3 position. He's got level 4 and wastewater. And, I think he's going to be a great addition to us. I also wanted to let everyone know that we're currently interviewing for a new office assistant. And in fact, I think we've got an interview coming up this Thursday. And hope to fill that position as well sometime soon. The RAG numbers, Michelle, do you have any specifics about that? I wanted to just touch base on that because I know that people are interested in that just because it creates, a maintenance burden for us.
You talking to me or Rochelle?
Yeah, well, either one. Do you guys have any numbers for that?
There were 16 rigs, 12 man hours. Yeah, the summer is always hellacious. People just abuse the system. They just don't care what they're throwing down it.
You know, we did close the office last week, reopened it on Monday. We might talk a little bit more about that when we get down to the new business and talk a little bit about the COVID situation. Other than that, I think that's all I've got for you for this meeting. Is there any questions?
You bet.
Yes, I do.
Tom, go ahead.
John, Mr. Stewart, you mentioned, is from Alaska. You say he's going to be a wastewater 4 operator. It's listed as 3 in your original comments.
No, he'll be a wastewater, or he'll be an operator 3 for us, but he does have a level 4 in wastewater.
Okay, are his certifications transferable to Oregon? And I might ask, are yours from Washington transferable? Or how does one go about doing that?
Yes, he does have reciprocity. Should have no problem getting there. I believe we hired him with a 6-month window to get his certifications. For me, I can tell you that I've always been certified in Oregon. Even the 14 years that I worked in Washington, I was certified in Oregon before I moved up there, and I kept my certifications that whole time.
Oh, outstanding.
Cameron, did you have a question?
Yes. John, with your thought process with Jason and being a higher level of operator, are you thinking for him to move into a lead position?
I think he's certainly got the ability to do that. We're hopeful that we will catch on quickly and be able to move into a lead position for us. With the loss of Ray, that was a big, those are some big shoes to fill. And we'd like to, we believe that eventually he'll be able to fill that role and excel at it.
So is he familiar with the systems that we have here, the STEP systems and the new plan part?
I don't think he's actually worked directly with those, as I haven't, but we're confident that he will pick it up very quickly.
Pick it up. Okay. The AMR, our job, where are we at with finalizing all that? The rest of the meters being put in.
Oh. Well, I think we're making progress. I see people have their hand up, but I want to let Carolyn call on them if they've got something to add.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. Rochelle, I see you got your hand up.
I was just going to say we're almost done. We just have one more route book to do, but we're short-staffed at the moment.
Yes.
We've been busy.
So less than 50?
Yeah.
Cool. The Haltner air job, did that get done for the building, Rochelle. The office?
Michelle, you just talked to them today. Would you like to respond to them?
They were supposed to call me last week with their schedule. They did not. I called them today, and I asked for the owner to call me back because we're still not on the schedule, and we signed the contract in May. So we are not happy and trying to figure out what's going on. But I understand with COVID, short staff, things are being put back on everybody's shoulders. So I did not hear back from them before I left today. Rochelle, they didn't call in?
No.
Okay, I'll be calling up first thing in the morning again to find out what the time frame is. But again, we signed the contract in May. We're just waiting to get the work started.
Yeah, and there was no money handed over to him yet?
No.
Okay. And then maybe, Michelle, you can finish up on the fiber optic for Horn Creek?
Yeah. They've been scheduling the job. They have to work on... They found some problems that they have of their own on Oldwoods Road. There's a section that they have to repair. We expect the job to start in September. I really don't expect it to be completed until October. As you know, we bought the server last year. We're waiting to install that server. So it's the time frame on them. September, October.
I'm the office assistant. Is that going to be a part-time job, or will that be a full-time job?
That will be a full-time job. I think Michelle is hoping to retire sometime soon, and Rochelle has moved into the executive assistant role, and this will be full-time position, office assistant position.
Okay. Looking forward to the party, Michelle.
Is it at your house, Tom?
I wouldn't wish that on anybody, especially my friends.
Michelle, did you have a clarification to make about Jason? I saw that you had your hand up earlier.
Thank you. I just wanted you to know that Jason's already applied for his reciprocity, and he was hoping to have it completed when he came to work. So we're hoping that's done soon.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, John. Moving on to unfinished business. Item 6A, our master plan project. John, were you going to fill us in on that?
Yeah, I had a recent conversation with Parametrics. In fact, I've got another call scheduled for them tomorrow. It looks like they are predicting mid-September to have the next version of the water master plan completed. Unfortunately, it looks like the best they can commit to is early November for the first draft of the wastewater master plan. I think we've all got some concerns in terms of the amount of time it's taking to see some of these items. I think some of us have concerns and made comments regarding the water master plan. And the purpose of my call with them tomorrow is try to hash out some of those concerns. I do know that after our last comment period, there are some things that they are pushing back on a little bit. And I need to understand better what their issues are. The purpose of our call is so that I can get that understanding. But the other purpose of the call is so that I can express some concern about the water master plan product that they've delivered to us to date. I believe that the seismic resiliency portion of it, which was new for this year, for this particular master plan, I don't think it was part of the regs to include it back in 05 when we did the last one. I think overall I'm reasonably satisfied with that, although I agree with some of Sean's comments that it's pretty tough to prepare for a magnitude 9 event that will last 5 to 6 minutes. I think it's much easier to prepare realistically for something of lower intensity, which could well happen as well. But the rules, as we know, are pretty plain. This required portion of the plan has to deal with a Cascadia subduction zone event, and in many ways it needs to address worst case scenarios. I think it's pretty tough to do that, but for what it's worth, my personal opinion is the seismic resiliency part of the plan is reasonably good. My concern is having read the plan, that I think that the rest of the analysis is pretty shallow. And I think they can do better, and I'm going to ask them to do better. And I'll know more tomorrow when I have a talk with them. We're going to have a meeting of the minds, and I'm going to make sure that they understand our concerns and hopefully learn what their concerns might be. So. And I see some.
Carolyn, maybe you can help me here. It's my understanding that on a master plan, we have to do this every 20 years or so, and I believe there are regulatory things that have to be met in a timely fashion. Considering the last 2 years of COVID, I imagine we've got some consideration there because it fell right when these things were due. Do we have any leeway here, or do we have any serious time constraints with federal or state regulatory agencies where we might be in trouble if we don't have that master plan settled in a reasonable amount of time?
I think I'd refer that question back to John.
Well, I can take a stab at it, Tom. If I'm not mistaken, our 2005 plan actually covered at least up to 2023. And I think we've got a couple of years before we really have to worry about that. We don't want to have a gap between the coverage of the plans. I'm confident that we can turn this around in that period of time. But I don't think we are on the verge of having a gap in our coverage of these plans or anything like that. I think we've got a couple of years, which is why we kind of started this early. But that's my understanding. I would invite Michelle to, or Rochelle to also confirm or deny that, but I think we've got time, and but your point is well taken.
John, in your previous comments, you made that the basic plan you thought was either your term was shallow. Does that mean not comprehensive, or is that based on that comment based on other plans in your past experience doing master plans? How do you qualify that statement?
Well, for starters, when I look at the plan that the same engineering firm created it for us back in 2005, it's pretty clear to me that that was a far superior product than we're getting today. And so, that's the primary basis of my opinion about that. However, I think in some respects they allowed us to lead them in a particular direction where I would much prefer that they go where the science and the data leads them in terms of their conclusions and so forth. I will say that a lot of their sections are pretty lean, not long on detail, and I would even say that the current offering they've given us isn't even regulatory compliant.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I base my opinion on.
Thank you. I appreciate your candor.
Yeah.
Tom, to go back to your issue about the timing of it, part of the reason we started in on this process with the update to the master plans maybe a little earlier than we were legally required to do so was we had a major upgrade at our in our operations, and we have always followed what the community has requested, that when we do a major upgrade like that, we will go back and update our master plans in order to be able to adjust our SDCs appropriately for new construction coming in.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Cameron, did you have a question?
Yeah. Is one side of the master plan water versus the sewer? Is either one of them a harder project than the other? I mean, is there any...
They're really completely separate efforts with different scopes and different time frames, and based on my understanding. So their time frame for mid-September on the water plan, and their time frame, and I had to twist their arm to get this on the wastewater plan there. Their time frame for mid-November or early November for that one, the fact that there's a couple of months difference there pretty clearly indicates to me that these are largely separate, independent efforts, although they share some common considerations.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting in the next few months what they come up with. And what can we do to refute it?
Well, I think we just have open and honest conversations with them. Talk very plainly and give them our opinions about kind of where we're at with these projects. Be very open and honest about some of our frustrations and. Things that we're not entirely happy with. I'll tell you what I'm thinking is that just from some of the feedback I've gotten from some of the other folks, I think there was a time that we were a priority to this particular company. We've been doing business with them for, as far as I can tell, going on 25 years. The feedback I've gotten, and I can kind of see it too, is that we're kind of falling off their priority list. I don't know if it has something to do with how busy they are or how big they've grown, we may want to consider entering into a business relationship with another firm if we're unhappy about the products and the efforts we're getting from Parametrics. And
we've had how many projects with them, Carolyn, Michelle, two, three, four?
I don't know.
It's kind of disheartening that we're just, small fish, or I don't, not like they didn't know we were working on the projects and stuff. They helped them with it, so.
I'm sorry.
Cameron, did you have another question?
No, John nailed it on that.
Okay, great. John, anything else on the master plans?
No, I'll keep you posted. I'll know a little more after our call tomorrow.
Great, thank you. All right, item 6B, community meetings. We discussed at the last meeting that we would wait until the master plans were completed to go out and discuss it with the community and hold a community meeting. And we had decided that since we were all in agreement with that, we would take this item off the agenda. And I apologize, it's my fault that didn't happen. So moving forward is item 6C, the board workshop review. And I assume that everyone had a chance to read Rob Mills' summary of the workshop. And were there any questions with regards to his summary? Okay. Did everyone have a chance to watch a video on advanced board training?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, then I would, rather than start the review of his data, I would like to start that review that he has suggested we do after everyone finishes watching the advanced workshop on board training. And Rochelle, you can get information out to the three remaining board members that haven't yet watched it, unless you've already done that, with passwords so that they can do that in this next month, and we'll have this item back on the agenda for September to start our review and discussion. Moving on, item 7A under new business is the COVID situation. John, you want to start in on that one?
Sure. Well, nobody wants to start his tenure with something like this. As you know, we had an employee that's been a week ago Monday notified us that he had tested positive for COVID. I've been through this several times up in my previous job. I feel like although it's often difficult to know exactly what to do, a lot of the guidance seems to change day by day. I feel like we did a strong and prompt response to the situation. I've been keeping you all updated the best I can regarding the situation. And I one of my earliest emails, I outlined a list of things that we had done or will be doing. I will say that the good news is that we have tested all the remaining staff, with the exception of one who was on vacation last week, and probably will not pursue a test for him. This particular person had very little contact with the infected employee, and this particular person has been vaccinated. But the rest of us have all had COVID tests. They have all come back negative. We disinfected professionally the common areas, the offices, the break rooms, the bathrooms, the labs. At the authority office, also took some extra precautions and disinfected the Horn Creek treatment facility, and we also disinfected this person's assigned work vehicle. And pleased to report that I think that we will. It seems as though we'll be able to isolate this event to just this one person. Also pleased to report that although still sick, this person's condition has seemed to be fairly stable for the last week. We're still not sure when he will return to work. I do know that I've checked on him every day, and his condition seems to be stable, still sick, but seems to be stable, and he's in good spirits, and I'm anticipating that he will be turning the corner on this illness very soon. So, just a quick update, that's probably the best I can summarize it for the group right now. I will say that we closed the office immediately when I heard about this a week ago Monday. We did reopen the office yesterday with all the COVID negative results from the remaining staff members, as well as a thorough disinfection of the office area. I felt like we needed to do that.
Don? Yeah, I think on one of your reports that one of the employees decided to get vaccinated.
I'm pleased to report that this event has caused one of our unvaccinated employees to reconsider. And my understanding is that person is getting vaccinated tomorrow. And I hope that trend continues. I would also invite suggestions, ideas about policy going forward. I just will say for the group that I haven't received the bill for the disinfection services. This was done by a team of four people that dispatched from the Portland area. I don't know exactly what the cost for that will be. I don't think it'll be cheap. We also invested about 24 staff hours in getting everybody vaccinated. I've got some ideas and some thoughts about potential ways to incentivize employees that haven't been vaccinated to change their mind. I don't know if it'll work or not. I would like to offer a financial incentive for the ones that haven't been vaccinated to get vaccinated. But whether something like that would work or not, or convince anybody, I can tell you that when the final price tag comes in for the disinfection of the facilities plus the man hours to respond with employee COVID tests, this might just come to be a business decision for us. If we can convince other folks that work there to get vaccinations that are, the folks that are currently unvaccinated. I think, especially in light of the bad news countywide, I'm planning to implement a policy where all of those that are unvaccinated must wear masks at all times, pretty much at all times. If somebody's got a dedicated work area that's only used by them, as long as they practice social distancing, my thought is it's probably okay to be able to sit at your own dedicated workstation without a mask, but anytime you get up or go to a common area or anything like that, I believe we need a policy where until things get better, that any of our unvaccinated staff must wear a mask. And but I would like, invite any thoughts somebody that the board might have on the incentive, possible incentives for that I talked about.
Tom, Cameron, I think you had your hand up first, and then Tom.
I'm not so worried about the price. The safety and the well-being of our employees, of our staff, and staff's family, the cost. But I'm in agreement. I think there should be a policy of something because we've got another strain possibly coming through. There might have to be a booster shot or wherever it is. And it is a choice of an employee. But to work in an atmosphere where there's other employees, you have to take the whole picture, big picture. So, yes, I'm in favor of that, John.
Thanks, Cameron. Tom?
As I've mentioned in a previous board meeting, the Small District Association did publish an article within the last few months. The number one question revolving around COVID that they fielded was, could we force as a utility employees to get vaccinated? And their answer was yes. And there's also been a current Supreme Court decision that reaffirmed that particular opinion. However, being as this is the United States of America and freedom to do what the heck you want when you want it, is pretty primary in a lot of people's minds. There's also a good argument that young people aren't as susceptible as those of age or color. And so we, just for the board's consideration, we could make a policy, and it appears it would be more than legal and accepted. However, I think that we are a small organization, and this is our first real test with an employee that's been infected. And I think considering recent past events in the past few months, changing anything right now might be detrimental. However, I certainly understand John's feelings and Cameron's. From a business perspective, it would be easy to explain to our employees that this costs a lot of money, and it can happen to anybody. So the best possible thing to do would to be, or most responsible thing would be, to be vaccinated. But it's a question for the entire board, and we probably need to discuss it a little more. But I'm kind of open to suggestions from the other board members. I have kind of mixed feelings about it. We can do it if we want to make it a company or a, you know, authority policy, but it might create some more dissension, and that's one of the things we're trying to avoid, starting over with a new manager and settling things down. Those are my major concerns.
Hey, Tom, that article, I saved that article. It's the SBA of spring 2000 that came out in May. So, John, if you want that article, it's the Special District Consulting Services that talks about the, it's quite lengthy, and I'll get that to you if you'd like it.
Well, I'd like to see it. You know, I will say that just because we can't mandate it, it doesn't mean we should. My personal opinion is I personally wouldn't support mandating vaccines for the staff. I'd like to see if there are other options, you know, but I would just, you know, it's something to consider, and, you know, maybe it's another topic of conversation for later, I guess that's probably all I have to say about it, unless somebody else has any questions.
Sean, go ahead.
All right, I have kind of a list that I've got going, so it's in no kind of particular order. I hear what Tom's saying, and I guess I'm kind of in the same boat again about mandatory vaccinations. I think we need to have that discussion. I think it needs to be on the table. I'm not quite sure whether it makes sense or not, but I do think that we should have the discussion. And I think we should have it tonight. I mean, this thing is blowing up with the Delta variant, and I don't think we've got a month to have this discussion. So I think that's got to be on the table. But in my mind, at the very least, the unvaccinated people then need to be tested twice a week. I mean, this is, you know, when this is all said and done, I don't know what the financial cost of this is going to be, but this could happen again. I mean, this could happen each time for each unvaccinated employee that we have, and I think that that's likely. And so we can't look at it as this as just a one-time expense of whatever it's going to be, $5,000 or $6,000 to disinfect, and whatever cost was involved with the number of hours that it took to get everybody tested. I mean, I think that we need to anticipate that this could happen again. And in some ways, we got lucky that none of the rest of the staff tested positive. I mean, if this happens again, we could lose two or three people. And if we lose two or three people, that starts playing with our abilities to do our core function, which is to deliver clean water to our residents and community and take away all their crap. And so I think at the very least, we got to have our unvaccinated people tested and once a week at the minimum, but really with as fast as the Delta variant seems to be popping up and how quick it is to get symptoms, I think that really ought to be twice a week. I have questions as to whether or not the office should be open to the public with all the surges that are going on in Tillamook County. I think we should consider closing the office to in-person visits. John, in terms of incentives, I got to be honest with you, I have mixed feelings about incentives too. Generally speaking, I'm opposed to offering incentives for people to get vaccinated, but if you're going to do it, then I think you got to extend it to all of our employees. So not just the people who are unvaccinated at this point. If you're going to offer up $100 as a reward for getting vaccinated, then it's got to be retroactive and include all of the people that are already vaccinated. And then in regards to the people that are unvaccinated and wearing masks, I think you got to draw the line. My opinion would be to draw the line if they got to wear a mask at all times. It's having, you know, done this for the last 18 months, it's too easy for people to, not necessarily with any ill intent, it's too easy to forget to wear your mask when you can wear it in this place and not in this place, or you have to wear it here but not here. I think if you're unvaccinated, you got to wear a mask at all times. So those are just some of the notes that I had jotted down.
Thanks, Sean. Ann?
Have some more comments there before I say anything.
Tom, you want
to? I had a brief comment, and this comment goes to Michelle. If we did offer an incentive, and it's just a discussion item here, would that be considered a bonus for the employees, and would that be taxable to the employees?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to clarify.
Thank you. Ann?
I have a couple or three thoughts in no particular order, and Tom just made me think of another one. If that were a cash incentive, it would be taxable. If it were an incentive in terms of a day or two off with pay, would that also be taxable? It would be, because you'd be paying tax on the salary. Okay. That was a wild thought that just came up.
If it wasn't a part of a salary of their wage, if it was like a block sum, couldn't that change it? Like, say, $200, not considered.
No, that's up to Michelle, because it's employment tax, and I'm not the expert there. I was just looking for a way that it might not be taxable.
Absolutely not. Any wages, any benefits are taxable.
Okay.
You cannot go around and say, oh, this is a diminished bonus. That would be a $25 gift. No. Anything over that.
What if it's a personal day?
Person and I'm not.
Personal day, but you're still going to pay them. So it's still taxable. It's still wages.
Okay. Thank you.
Ann, please continue.
So in regard to testing, I like that idea. I think that's not something that I would feel comfortable taking any board action on tonight. I think John has done a really stellar job, as far as I'm concerned, with his very aggressive response right up front. We also have a major project with the ventilation system underway, which has apparently been slightly delayed. We're still trying to make that happen. But I think the aggressive response up front, requiring masks and all the actions that you took, John, come from your past experience and have been very, very helpful. We're in a little bit of a different situation in terms of health infrastructure support here, being somewhat isolated physically from facilities. I frankly don't know what the testing protocols are at the Community Health Department in Tillamook County. And I think before we could make any final comments or decisions about that, that it would be nice if John could have a chance to call Marlene Putman, the director of the health department, and have a one-to-one conversation with her directly, because of all of the people that work there, she is the director and she's got this all on her desk. And the other thing that makes me a little bit reluctant to try to jump on something and set any kind of policy tonight is that the situation changes every day and every week and every month. And I think that John is in the best position to do the research, keep us informed, ask us our advice collectively when he needs it, and to move forward as the authority manager. And I have every confidence based on our experience so far that he is not only capable of doing that, but inclined to do it by nature. So I do think, and I'm relatively certain, there have already been conversations within the staff. Not that I personally have been party to them, but I think just because knowing our staff and we're a close-knit working family, that I think we need to trust the staff to not take risks with themselves and their family members. And yes, we have had one active case. But how long, I know the Delta variant is more aggressive, that makes this a more serious challenge. But maybe with continued conversation about the seriousness and aggressiveness of this new variant, just as a reminder to people to take care for their families and their friends and use extreme caution in their personal contacts inside and outside of work. And to be ready, willing, and able to step up and stay home if they're sensing any kind of symptoms that might be related. So, again, not in any particular order, but those are kind of my thoughts.
Thanks, Ann. And Tom, before I come back to you, I'm going to throw my two cents in here, if you don't mind. I think that John, and I think it was Sean that brought it up, I think closing the office to the public, I can definitely, as a board member, support that. I think there is enough community spread in Tillamook County that we take a risk every time one of our staff members comes in contact with somebody that they don't know and what their history is or how they've been out and about. I think that we have very few cases that have to be dealt with in person, and we could look at those on an individual basis. I think, John, if you think that incentives would help get our staff vaccinated, I can absolutely support that. I know that I expect that a couple of our staff might feel hesitancy about getting a vaccine because the FDA approval, full approval, has not come through, and we expect that in the next couple of weeks. And as that comes through, I'm hoping that maybe there will be an opportunity for additional staff members to take a look at what's happening and what the data says and choose to be vaccinated. I would echo what Ann said about testing. I looked at numbers earlier this week. For instance, Wasco County has about the same number of population that Tillamook County has. And yet the comparisons on the testing is almost off the charts, where Tillamook County has run a little over 19,000 tests. Wasco County has run 49,000 tests. I don't know why there is that difference. I don't know if it's because of cost or because of policy or attitude, but we are at this point at a 17.4 positivity rate with low testing. And that means that our community spread is going to continue in places that we don't see it and don't know it. That puts our staff at a greater risk. I support whatever John thinks will work best with masks. If we have another positive case, that we are going to go drastically to another situation, I would expect that we would, probably because of the cost. I hope that that doesn't happen, that our staff chooses to look again and review the vaccination data, and that that they choose to get vaccines before we have to mandate it. That's just my two cents. Tom, do you want to weigh in here?
One last item. John, how many employees have not been vaccinated?
I would say 40%.
Wow.
40.
Okay.
And if I may be able to just a couple of thoughts. I'm certainly okay with closing the office to the public. I don't think that creates a severe impediment to the public communicating with the office, conducting business with the office, or anything along those lines. I will say that, of course, when the employees leave work, every bar, every restaurant, every gas station, nobody else is cracking down like this, so just be aware of that. And that's one, not necessarily my primary driver for, not wanting to be real heavy-handed here at this point, but it's certainly a consideration to me. Granted, a lot of people in the public aren't serving the critical roles that our employees are doing. But just be aware, employees already exceed what the rest of the community are doing, and I just wanna temper our response a bit with that consideration. I believe it's hard to know whether incentives, financial incentives, will make a difference or not. I will say that if we are going to offer an incentive, I wouldn't recommend $100. I'd recommend $1,000. Because, if $100 isn't much incentive, number one, and I wouldn't recommend it, is if they wouldn't do it for $1,000. But I would also offer that we have some critical staff members who have some very strong feelings about their freedom to decide whether they get a vaccination or not. I will tell you point blank, I do not support making it mandatory. I understand the concern is if somebody else gets this, we could have two or three employees. I will say, if we make this mandatory, we may lose. And I want to just be conscious about that as well. Just a couple of final thoughts. I don't know if you guys want to make a motion or anything to try to adopt anything, but I am okay with closing the office. But I do have a lot of experience with this, and I'm confident in the policies that I have in place, that they're reasonable. I think they'll be effective. And I just, as serious as this is, I just don't want to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour right off the bat when the rest of the community is not doing so.
Tom, Sean, and then Michelle.
I share Sean's concern here, and I think your response has been responsible and aggressive to what we've, what's going on. However, if we have 40% of staff, that's a considerable number if you're talking about percentages, So I'm thinking that Sean's suggestion of testing on a weekly basis has some merit, and that would still leave the choice up to the employee but I noticed on the accounts payable, we some of that testing was done at Samaritan, not at at Tillamook Adventist. And I believe that precedent was set earlier when we were having trouble getting testing from Tillamook. And I think there's more of a, it's a simpler test. They don't put a test, you know, they don't stick the thing clear up into your brain. Just more of a nasal thing anymore. But it's probably cheaper now. And they seem to be able to have test results inside of one day at Samaritan. But I like the idea, considering we have so many people with strong feelings. Totally understand their feelings. But we leave ourselves, I believe, open to liability, if especially if it can be shown that someone from public somehow is connected to one of our employees who is infected. That could be a negative PR thing for us too. So I like the way you've been doing things, John, with this crisis, but I think probably an additional step would be additional testing and not make it mandatory at this time.
Michelle, did you want to respond to what Tom was saying before we go to Sean?
Actually, I do. Kate Brown just put out today, August 10th, 2021, that all State of Oregon executive branch employees required to be fully vaccinated. This is a new ruling she put out this afternoon. And the I questioned it. So I'm sorry if you thought I was ignoring this whole meeting. I wasn't. I was looking this up because I'd heard it earlier. The requirement will apply to all executive branch employees, including employees working for all Oregon state agencies. And are we not a state agency?
No.
Okay. So then I'll be corrected. I just wanted to make sure before everybody changed all their rules, but according to my thought was we are a state agency. A municipality is a state agency.
No, it's not. A state agency is a agency where employees are paid by the state of Oregon.
Okay, then I'm corrected, and thank you.
Well, what about federal? Aren't we as far as...
No, it's not, but this is a state issue. I just wanted to make sure before we spend 3 hours on this that we're not a state agency, because that's what we tell people, that we're state municipality, and I wanted to make sure they're not the same. So thank you for correcting me, and I apologize for interrupting.
Michelle, thank you for catching that, and that's news this afternoon that's coming out. I think we're going to see a lot of changes in the next week about who's going to be requiring vaccines and who's not. I think we're going to see a lot more people doing that.
Okay.
Sean, yeah, sure. You had a comment to make here?
I do. I have a few. First of all, I want to agree with Ann and a couple other people that John, I do think you're doing a fantastic job of responding to this so far, and thank you for that. One of the other things that Kay Brown announced today is tomorrow, she pre-announced, so she's announcing tomorrow that masks are again required for everybody in Oregon indoors. So that's coming out tomorrow. I agree with Carolyn. I think more restrictions are coming down the pipeline. I do want to say that there are lots of other places in our community that are cracking down. There are places that are making vaccines mandatory. There are places that have already started requiring masks indoors even before Kate Brown announced it today. So there are a lot of other places that are taking more aggressive action. And I do just want to make a comment regarding some of our employees' strong opinions about getting vaccination. I completely understand that, and I respect that very much so. My concern is that we have a responsibility to this community to provide safe water and to take away sewage. And we're putting our employees at risk. And I think that we got to mitigate that. And, you know, yesterday I was listening, this morning I was listening to the commissioner's weekly community conference call, and the hospital and the urgent care clinic there had a record number of visitations yesterday. So I don't think if we are going to implement some sort of testing policy, I don't know that Tillamook County is the right place for it. I think we need to expand ourselves outside of that. I think we need to look at some of the private companies. Costco is offering testing. Amazon is offering testing. You've got Quest Labs. You've got Lab Corporation. I think that we're going to limit ourselves if we think that we're going to get a good response out of Tillamook County. So I can understand the concern about mandatory vaccinations, but we got to do something to protect our employees. And we got to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Ken? I'll just reiterate that for that and all of the other comments that have been made tonight, for those reasons, I think that we are not in a good position to make any decisions as a board tonight, other than I would suggest we reinforce John's good sense about this and his instincts that come from more experience than any of us have, by far. And it is a changing situation day by day, week by week, not even looking out as far as a month. And I just don't think we're in a good position from the standpoint of knowledge or experience at this point to make any final decisions about what our approach should be. But I'll put my support behind John and his continued updating of the board. If at some point we need, on perhaps his recommendation, to have a special board meeting to make a decision on something major in terms of policy, then I think that's entirely feasible and could be done in fairly short order. So, thank you.
And I would echo that, and I would expect that if we made a policy of having requiring vaccinations, that would need to be done at board level. The rest of the pieces that John has already started and can continue and would continue on with, we'll leave him to research and implement those and update us as he has over the last week with any changes or concerns that he has. And as you said, if John feels like we need to move toward a meeting and move toward a policy or move toward another discussion, then he'll let us know and we can find the time and the day to be responsive to that when we need to. Cameron, you want to add one more time? And Tom?
Yeah, I do. I think we're having a good conversation. It's a hard conversation because it's a hot topic either way you go. But we're going to have to one day, it's coming, that we're going to have to make these hard decisions. So John's on the ball. I have no doubt in his judgment, but this is another conversation. We're going to have a policy of some sort. So.
Thank you, Cameron. Tom?
Realizing that this situation is costing us man hours and expenses, some serious expenses, but it is what it is. And because of the way things are ramping up, it's summertime, and we've had a whole lot of visitors here that are coming from Portland in the metropolitan areas where Delta is flourishing. I think we need to act tonight. And what I'd like to see is I'd like to make a motion that we implement weekly testing. John, figure out a way to do that for those who are non-vaccinated at this time.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Discussion? John?
I'm comfortable with that. As Sean indicated, I'd like to research some more options for that testing, but I can accept that. Sure.
I would appreciate if we made a motion to have regular testing and to let John do the research, because at this point we don't know where tests are available, how to get them to our staff without unlimited hours of travel, and what the cost will be and which test it will be and how reliable that particular test is being offered. And I think that requires some research and some information before the board decides to say it has to be weekly testing and this is what must be. I feel like we're being very narrow at this point and not giving John an opportunity to do his job.
I'd like to err on the side of safety in this issue. John, would it take you a week to do this research and find out where testing could be done and costs and that sort of thing, or would you need more time?
Well, I would say that it would not take a week. I would not allow it to take a week. Many of you have pointed it out, time could be of the essence here. If you could give me till the end of this week, I feel comfortable that I could explore all those options and try to find something that is more readily available, less disruptive to the operation, to ensure that these tests can get done in a timely manner. And just as importantly, we get the results in a timely manner.
Tom, what if we were to ask John to do this research, and when he had pulled it together, to have him let us know what his decision was? And if that decision is then not acceptable to members of the board, then we would call a video teleconference board meeting to push it the next step. But I have full faith at this point that John's going to come up with something, having heard all of our comments, that will meet our need without us having to have a motion to require him to do so.
If we can have some decent information and agree on it via email is fine. I don't want to question his authority here, because I think he's got his finger on what's most practical, but I feel very strongly about this testing thing, as critical as this thing is getting, and still, mitigate our employees' feelings and that sort of thing. So that seems to be a pretty practical suggestion. Let's let John see what he can find out and get back to us in a short period of time.
Great. Sean?
I think we've got to, I like this motion. I think it's got to be a weekly testing. I don't think COVID is going to allow us the luxury of having a 10-day or a 14-day period between testing. But I just don't think that that's practical given what's going on with COVID. So, if we want to delay the implementation of this by a week, I'd be okay with that. But, we've got a motion on the table. I think that a 1 week from now we start testing weekly.
Well, let me change the motion. I make a motion that we ask John to research the viability of weekly testing with whatever sources he can come up with, come back to us by the end of the week or sooner, so that we could make a formal policy of weekly testing. I withdraw the previous motion and make this the current motion. Allow John the authority to research it and get back to us within a week so that we can make a policy statement as far as weekly testing.
I second.
And just for clarification on the process here, we have this motion. And within the motion, if I'm understanding it correctly, Tom, you're suggesting that we would have a week to decide, whereas if we go ahead and approve this motion tonight, I'm lost for what we're deciding at the end of the week.
No, that's what I'm doing, Ann, is withdrawing the previous motion to have weekly testing and make that decision tonight, and I have a new motion to have John research this and get back to us within a week so that we can make a policy decision within a week.
Okay, and so that making the decision, let's say the motion passes and we proceed that way, to make a policy decision at the end of that week's period would require, I think, another motion and a vote, which would require a brief special meeting. Am I following that process correctly?
Well,
I know that I am. If we're going to actually make it, if the board's going to make a decision to implement that procedure, then the board has to take a vote, and we can't do that by email. It has to be done in a public meeting.
Well,
which is not a problem. You can do emergency meetings for notice with 2 days notice or something like that.
Carolyn, we don't have Robert's rules of order.
I'm sorry, Cameron. You're not called on yet. Tom, go ahead.
Would it be, in your opinion, Carolyn and John, more practical instead of having a motion, just request you to do this research and get back to us, and then we can create a motion and create a policy? Or what do you feel is the best way to go here?
I would encourage that. I don't think we need a motion at this point or a policy. We've had a good discussion about the COVID in the workplace. We've had experience with John being right on top of this issue over this last week or so, and having kept us all in the loop, being very clear about what's going on, what's going to happen next, and I expect that that would be the same at this time. I wouldn't expect anything less of John, and if board members have a concern at the end of this week with where things are headed, please get in touch with me or get in touch with John, and we'll figure out if we need to have a meeting to go a different direction. How does that sound, Tom?
Well, it sounds like we have a good consensus here that testing's kind of the way to go. So, however, we still got to find out feasibility of weekly testing and that sort of thing. So that's where John comes in. So I tell you what, John's basically got his marching orders, and I can withdraw this current motion. And we'll make a further motion when it comes to with the end of the week when we have clearer data.
Great. Thank you, Tom. John?
Just one more thing. I will tell everyone, because I think it's an easy thing to do, and I don't think it'll be cause anybody hardship or disruption. I will reclose the office tomorrow to outside traffic and to non-critical contractors. If the governor has made a proclamation, I will always follow the latest CDC guidance, and if the governor is reinstating a state of emergency or making a proclamation that everybody wears masks, I will be following all of those recommendations and orders to the letter. Similar proclamation last night. So I will do everything we can to keep people as safe as we can, but if that's acceptable to everybody, I'll reclose the office, and if we all need to start wearing masks as per the governor, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Thank you. All right, thank you for a good discussion. All right, item 7B, resolution 2107, registered agent. I'm sorry, Sean, did you have a comment?
Yeah, sorry, just for a point of order, we had a motion that was seconded, so can we just withdraw it, or do we have to vote on it since it was seconded?
He already did withdraw it.
And that, we can do that?
Yes. Yep. The person that sets the motion can withdraw it.
All right, thank you.
Yes. Resolution 2107 for the registered agent.
Is that directed to me?
No, that's directed to me.
I'll move that we adopt or we approve resolution number 2107 in the matter of designating an agent of record and designating registered office.
I'll second it.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve resolution number 21-07 in the matter of designating an agent of record and designating registered office. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion is unanimously approved. Thank you. Item 7C, housekeeping I don't quite understand, but bank signatures and LGIP access. Michelle, is this you or no, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I need a couple of motions here. This is just housekeeping items regarding putting me on credit accounts, my name, and things of that nature. The first motion I need is to approve me as an authorized signer to the authority's Oregon Coast Bank account and to remove Michelle Hughes from the same account.
I second that motion. How about that?
There was no first.
And?
Do I have a motion to accept that and a second?
No, I need a motion from the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll move that we adjust the bank signatures on any PCJWSA bank accounts to include John Wesley as authority manager and remove Michelle Hughes.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that on all Oregon Coast accounts associated with PCJWSA that we add John Wesley as authority manager, his signature, and to take off Michelle Hughes' name on those accounts. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
There is two more, by the way.
Yes.
And
we need one for LGIP access?
That's exactly correct.
Okay. And then one for Visa card.
And then one for the credit card.
Okay. Right. Yes, Michelle? You're
muted.
Actually, one for TLC as well.
All right.
So that's why I said all banks in my motion.
That would probably work. Yeah, but Okay. Normally we do them separately, so I'm just clarifying and trying to get all of our I's dotted and T's crossed, so.
Thank you for that. If we need a separate motion, we can do one.
I think we should. The banks want to see their name in the meeting minutes, mm-hmm. and I see Rochelle
exactly.
nodding.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Rochelle, did you have something before I make another motion?
Go ahead and make the motion. I was just going to say, do I recall correctly that we had to go to TLC to sign paperwork specific to TLC? Okay. So that'll happen as well.
Yeah, as I recall, we had to go and re-sign the signature card, but I believe that had something to do with the fact that the signature card was old and I was the only remaining approved signer. That was still connected with the organization. So that was a slightly different reason that we had to do that. but thank you for remembering that. So I'll move that we designate John Wesley as a signer on the TLC account that's held at the Tillamook branch, and remove Michelle Hughes.
I will second.
It has been moved and seconded that we designate John Wesley, our authority manager, on the TLC account and remove Michelle Hughes' name. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next one, LGIP access.
And? I'll move that we add John Wesley as a signer on the LGIP access and remove Michelle Hughes. That's computer access, right? It's okay.
I'll second.
It is Michelle. Computer access, but there's also management access to make any changes to accounts as far as setting up new ones and deleting old ones.
So it does require signatures on occasion?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. So the motion's still accurate.
It has been thank moved you. And seconded that we add John Wesley, our authority manager's access signature to the LGIP access and remove Michelle Hughes. All in favor of said motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. And we have the charge accounts.
So those are the card service credit card accounts.
Credit cards.
There's one main credit card. Okay. Do we need to state the name of the company or do we just say credit card account?
Credit card.
Okay, because when we see it on the budget, we don't see the name of the company. So,
it's card services.
Card services. Okay, I will move that we add John Wesley, authority manager, as a signer on the credit card services account, and remove Michelle Hughes.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we add John Wesley's name to the credit card services account and remove Michelle Hughes' name. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Now, with regards to bank signatures, Michelle, does this mean everyone has to sign again?
I'm sorry to say it does.
And we would be doing that at the bank?
That's correct.
And when would you like us to be doing that?
Well, we have to have signed minutes first, so it's going to be a month before you approve the minutes. So it's going to be in September.
Okay, thank you. Any other housekeeping details? All right, thank you. Item 7D, new vehicle. John?
Yes, we have a vehicle that we need to replace at the authority, a fleet vehicle. It's an old vehicle, and we would like to replace it with a new one. We have done some research, gotten a handful, several quotes here, and we have identified one that we like, that we think will serve the purpose very well. And also pleased that it is the cheapest one of all the prices that we received. It's coming in at about $42,000, but with licenses, if we have a motion to proceed with the purchase of the vehicle, I would recommend that it would be a motion not to exceed $45,000. I think that should cover the tax and licensing and additional costs related to the purchase. But it is a need of the authority, and we've done our research, and we'd like to move forward with the purchase of this vehicle.
Dan? I just had a question, John, that the new vehicle, I'm assuming, is coming off the lot without the work boxes and the safety lights and all that sort of thing is, no, I'm getting a shaking of the head. So I was going to the $45,000 limit if that would cover everything we need. So,
Michelle? Can I add to that conversation?
Yes.
Okay, so it comes with the service box. It'll come with the rack. It will not come with the lights, which are about $1,600. So the fact that the truck is $42,000 off the lot, we think that $45,000 will cover pretty much everything.
Okay, then I'll move that we authorize the authority manager to purchase the vehicle that's been researched and determined to be available for an amount not to exceed $45,000. It has been moved and seconded that we authorize the authority manager to purchase the vehicle described not to exceed $45,000. All in favor, say aye.
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 I have a question.
Oh, you have a question. Okay, Tom?
I'm sorry. I probably missed some of John's comments. This vehicle replaces what, or is it a complete different vehicle?
It replaces the 2005 vehicle that we had.
So it's basically just a work vehicle, correct? I mean,
it's a service truck.
Service vehicle.
Service body, pipe, okay. Rack, everything, yeah.
Okay, so the old vehicle is 16 years old, so it needs to be...
Yeah, we'll sell that at surplus.
Okay, I vote aye.
Right. Then everyone, let's do that vote again. All in favor of said motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Please proceed with the purchase, John. I have one more question, Carolyn.
Yes.
In the past, when we have... disposed of older vehicles, we've gone through an official process of declaring them surplus property, so I'm going to assume that we will be doing that perhaps at the September meeting or after.
Once the vehicles have arrived, yes.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, item 7E, revised employee handbook. John?
Well, we've, I got to give credit where credit's due here. Michelle has put together, with the help of our HR contact, a revised employee handbook. We've gotten comments from a couple of directors. We would like to receive comment suggestions from the remainder. And we can incorporate those into another draft and send it out for final review.
All right. When would you like those comments?
Well, if we could get something within the next week or two, I'd be okay. We've got a current employee handbook that we can refer to in the meantime. It's just the feedback from the staff is they wanted something a little more condensed, and that's what we've attempted to put together for you at this time.
So would it be appropriate to say that comments need to be in by August 25th at the latest?
I'm comfortable with that, yeah.
All right. Tom, you have a question?
This handbook is a pretty comprehensive document, and... I've read the old one, and I haven't had a chance to touch on the new one. I do have some suggestions. However, at the last meeting, I believe it was, we entertained the idea of a workshop specifically for this handbook where we can focus on all the individual items. The format is completely different from the old handbook, and once again, I apologize for not being able to have the time to really go over it thoroughly, but I'd like to see a workshop. You know, it'd be nice to have it done in a week or 2 weeks or whatever. That's fine, but I think we need a workshop to go through each of the major items and have a discussion about them.
And I think a workshop might be a very helpful tool in finalizing it, but I think that we're at the earlier stage in this right now. We need to get everybody's input back to Michelle so that they can produce another draft and with specific input. The workshop is going to be less effective, I think, because we won't have the details in mind. So I'd like to suggest that we go ahead with the August 25th deadline for directors to respond to the proposed draft and let Michelle and John come up with a final draft. And then we'll see. When we see the final draft, then I think it would be appropriate for us to decide, perhaps with John or Michelle's guidance, whether a workshop is necessary, or perhaps at that point they'll feel as though they've gotten thorough and useful input, and that we may not feel the need for the workshop. In suggesting that to begin with, I wanted to hold that out as an opportunity if we needed it. So I think we've got a step to do, or a couple of steps to do, before we get to that point.
Well, my concern, Ann, was that my time is really constrained the rest of the month, just not having a lot of time to meet that deadline. So I thought that the workshop would be more practical and give us more time to look at it in detail and then discuss it that way.
I appreciate that, but I don't think the workshop would be very productive if you haven't read the document page by page prior to the workshop. So I appreciate that your time commitments are slim, but I will say personally, it took me about 6 hours total to go through it. I carved out about 3 hours each day and got it done. I don't know if that is a ballpark that would help anybody else, but I'm hoping that you can have the chance to do that.
I would also encourage any board member to call John or Michelle and meet with them if they have major questions or major sections, because a good part of the employee handbook is dictated by federal and state law and not us as a board. And they can point out to you before you get too involved in it where those things are for which there is not changes that we can make. So I would encourage those that haven't been through it to meet with John and or Michelle before we would have a workshop scheduled if we needed. Cameron, you have a comment?
Yeah, I went through it. I think a workshop would be pretty useful because I think we're probably, a lot of us are on the same page. I mean, I wrote all my notes and stuff, and then send a copy was made, given to John or Michelle, I'm not sure who which. And I don't know if you comment that, is it the same notes and stuff that Ann has made to what I've made?
Michelle, did you want to respond?
Yeah, some of them were, Cameron, and you and Ann both had some really great comments. They need to be put into the handbook. I would just like to see the others, so we can get a mesh.
So we're probably all on the same page.
Probably pretty close. Not all.
Right.
Not all of them, but pretty close.
Okay. What's your time constraints, Sean?
Did you say John or Tom?
John.
Well, I can make myself available to anybody at any time to go over this. Well, almost any time. I would say, I agree. I think what would be helpful is we've heard from two of you. I think it's helped us quite a bit. the suggestions were good. I do agree that if everybody was able to read the document or at least look at it to some degree, I think a workshop would be more more effective after that. But if somebody wants to call and ask me or discuss any particular element of it, please give me a call. I'm open to it. I think I can definitely arrange some time.
Okay, it sounds like we're approaching some consensus here that we'll get our comments to you by August 25th, and any of us can stop, call you and set an appointment to discuss it if that would work better for us. You'll integrate those comments, and then we'll consider a workshop if necessary when we get to the next meeting. All right, item 7F, billing insert for Kiwanda Corridor Project.
I'll make a stab at this. The Cape Kiwanda Drive project, I think everybody's at least as familiar with it as I am. Looks like the steering committee that's overseeing this would like to establish or a means for communicating to the public about the project, and they have asked us to play a role in that. They would like to put some an insert into our letters that we our bills that we send out to our customers with project highlights, public meeting dates, information on project resources, things of that nature, and they have asked for our help with that, and if they could use our billing letters as a means to relay that information to the public. And I think Michelle, it says the cost to KCP on this. KCP is who? Is that the
Kiwanda Community
Kiwanda Corridor Project?
Yes, Kiwanda Corridor Project.
Yeah, it looks like these inserts would be about 13 cents each.
It costs them less than $200.
Yeah, less than $200. What's unclear to me is if this is a one-time request or if this is going to be a request they make several times as they've got more information to relay or the progress or the project progresses.
Tom?
John, I think it'd be a good idea to clarify that. Even if it is a, let's say, two or three times newsletter kind of thing, I think it's a good a civic thing to do for the community, and it's not real expensive. We have contingency funds, I'm sure, for a small amount like this, and I think it'd be good.
Hang on, Tom, because I think there's some data that's missing. Michelle, would you fill us in before Tom goes?
Yeah, the cost is not on us. They have to pay the cost. There's no cost to us.
Well, then let's do it.
It's just a community service for this particular group. And do you want to support this particular group? PCJ has never in my 18 years put an insert in for any group before. But this is a big deal. It's a corridor, and it's going to modify Pacific City in a major way. So they would pay the cost.
Haven't they already utilized our services in the past to locate items on piping and things on Cape Kiwanda Drive? Was that?
That is true, but locates are part of our services because we do not want them to break our lines. It's not that it's a free service. It's a protective service.
preventive maintenance and accidents.
Don, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I mean, not having seen the insert, I don't know what it looks like, but I would just caution that I think it needs to be very clear that this is an independent group doing this, and that we in no way, shape, or form are endorsing this. This is just a community message, because this corridor project is going to get the community hot and riled up, and I want to make sure we are absolutely neutral on this.
Correct, and we've just spent, John explicitly talked to me today, sorry John if I'm overstepping, explicitly told me that this message had to be with our verbiage on it, that we are not a part of this group. And John, please let me get out of your way.
Well, no, I think...
Let me get out of your way.
No, that's fine. You and I talked about it earlier today. I agree with Sean completely. It's very important that we remain neutral here, that my concern by using our billings for this message is I don't want people to get the idea that this is something we endorse, something we're pushing, and we need to put a disclaimer on these notices that basically says that this is just a community service, but we don't have a dog in this fight, and we need to make sure that anybody that receives these notices understands that.
But the thing about it is, it's our protection of our lines that our interest is in this.
Well, I don't think we're talking about locates at this point.
John, am I to understand correctly that we have had a request from a community group on a project that affects anyone that owns property in this community, for which they'd like to place an insert, for which they will be paying for which we have editorial review, and at this point it's a one-time option. And do we have a written record of those parameters that both parties have agreed to in some very informal way, in case we're saying to the community, back to the community at someone is complaining or concerned that this is the agreement we made, or... Yes, Michelle, what?
We could have, we will have, we don't have. This is preliminary. You're just asking a question. Okay. Are we interested?
So does the board support the project?
Yes. Do you support it?
Do we support putting the insert in for this purpose?
That's right.
We don't support the...
I think it's safe to say from the conversation we support the concept of it. The particulars of how it's played out will be key to the success of it from our standpoint as the authority, and from the community standpoint in terms of getting good, solid, thorough information that people can use. So I'm hearing a consensus of support for the idea, but we don't have the particulars yet, and I think John has the right take on this. I'm comfortable with saying at this point, let John go ahead and explore the details.
All right, thank you. Cameron?
Are we opening ourselves up to a precedent of somebody else wanting to do the same thing through our billing? I mean, we're paying the postage to send this stuff out. We don't have a policy or anything to touch this, do we, that I'm aware of? We're paying postage to send out our billing. So, yeah, we are paying for it from the district standpoint.
We ended up cutting out of the movie because we found a better thing for some to get excited about, which was the window.
So it does put an involvement on us. So I think I'm not in favor.
My understanding is that the cost associated with this would be mainly for the printing and the message from this corridor project steering committee. My understanding is it would not add to the weight of any of the mail, or it'd be substantial. But, you know, I can't, of course, I can't respond to your question about setting a precedent. I don't see a postage issue with this initial request from the corridor steering committee, but, you know, I'd have to let the board decide whether that might set a precedent for other people to want to do the same thing.
You're opening up a can of worms. I'm against it.
Don?
The question, I mean, is the Wanda Cordo Project group an independent local advocacy group, or is that a euphemism for a county organization?
Michelle?
I believe that it is part of a county organization that is studying the corridor and possibly making recommendations to the Board of Commissioners to make those changes. It's part of that whole planning master plan that they have for Pacific City.
So I believe the steering committee was formed by representatives from South County and representatives from the county agencies.
And Sarah Absher
from the county
holding,
agencies that are connected with the project.
Yes.
And the responsibility of the steering committee is to oversee this project from a community point of view, but it is a county project. This project affects a good number of people in this community and visitors to this community. It's probably the largest project this community has seen countywide.
Ever.
Since I don't know when. And other than the ones that PCJWSA has done, it's a hard objective to inform the community, i.e. the people in this community, of a project like this, because 60% of our homes are vacation rentals. They all have to pay their water sewer bill. They all get it. They don't all get the PC Sun. They all aren't on the Facebook page. They all don't read the headline herald, and they all aren't here all the time. So this is the only mechanism that the county has to inform the people within our boundary that this major project is going on.
They have the taxes, tax roll.
Right. Other than paying for purchasing of the addresses and then mailing them to all of those people. And that is a much bigger project and a much more costly venture for projects that's trying to stretch the money for usage in South County. So I personally would support moving forward on this one-time usage at this point. I don't think we'll see many. Well, I take that back. The other project that may need some communication that has to do with this would be what the county decides to do with the Jensen property. Other than that, there are no big projects for which people within our water sewer boundary would need to know. Michelle?
Aren't they combined?
They are combined within the
steering
But I think at this point, I'm not sure that project is to be discussed. This is just the project for the corridor pathway, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Ann, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, my understanding was that the Kiwanda Corridor Project is what they have named the entire project, which does include the intersection at the end of the Beachy Bridge, Sunset, Kiwanda Drive, but and I believe it does include the planning for the Jensen property.
I thought so too.
And I also believe that at this stage in the game, we're not putting any shovels to anything. This is planning and discussion and engineering, and that's why we've been asked to do locates. And so I think the sooner we can have the public informed on whatever level about what is actually happening, instead of what maybe a neighbor down the street thinks is happening, the better it is for all of us. So So I am in support of this as a one-time thing. And Cameron, to I understand your concerns. I really do, because I hear the fear that this could mushroom. But
yes,
but I think if we agreed to do this as a one-time thing, we have editorial control over what's included. It, we don't have to pay to produce the document. Apparently, the postage won't change because it doesn't add much weight. For all of those reasons, I'm okay with it on a one-time basis.
Well, we're asking for something, and somebody else is going to ask for that service also. And I think we're going down the wrong rabbit hole. We really do. The county, when they notify building additions and stuff, they set out a big mailing through all that to all the people that hold property and stuff. I just think it's a big can of worms, and I think we should just stay clear. We are a water sewer business. That's all we are. We're not out there to provide community service for projects to be done, because somebody else down the road, and Emily, you did it for them, you've got to do it for us. So I don't know what Sean or Tom thinks of it, but
Don, why don't you find out what the more detail for us?
Yeah, if that was towards me, I will say, Michelle, I don't think we've seen an example from them of what they're wanting to send out, have we?
No, we saw a sample of what they've done before, but it doesn't pertain to us, and it would be different. So we would have to have a mock-up so that we could add our words to it, saying that we are not, you know, subject to support of this. This is just our an insert, like you were suggesting. But they don't want to spend the money to do a mock-up, obviously, unless we support it. So
well, I think that burden would be on them.
It is on them. Absolutely. Yeah. All the burden's on them. None of the burden is on us. All we have to do is approve it.
Is it the type of thing that we should get a copy of and then submit to the board for review?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would suggest that. I would suggest that if the board is in support, that we go back to them and ask them for a proof, an absolute proof that the board could, you know, approve before we would ever put it in our billing.
I think we
they have
stop
time.
It.
They wouldn't have asked us so soon. They have time.
Well, I think we should talk to legal about this. This is what we're going to go.
Michelle, when is there a time frame for this? Do you know?
They didn't give us a time frame. That was the issue. There is no time frame. Their after just suggested it, so I think they're really early on.
Okay.
And I think this is a real early onset preliminary thing that they're working for next year, honestly.
Okay. So would it be fair? Go ahead, Ann.
I think I might have been going the same place. I think at this stage in the game, there's not really anything concrete for us to make a decision on.
Okay.
As you've just said, there's a lot of information to gather. And
they were asking for...
I don't feel compelled to make decisions when I don't know. So,
okay. So we'll go back.
Let's just find information about the project, and you have a sense of the concerns from these discussions, which you had the same concerns in the beginning. So let's just keep the conversation going and see where it goes.
Well, we haven't heard from Sean or Tom.
I think we need some more information, Cameron.
Okay.
And I think Sean had already mentioned his concerns. So I think at this point that we've had a preliminary discussion of how the board feels
both pros and cons, and that the board is interested at some level, and yet there are some concerns that we have. So we can't commit to anything, and we'd like to see what their time frame is, make sure their plan is single or multiple, and we know what that is, and to see at least some mock-up of some language and know that we expect full editorial control, so that even if they just had a sample to us that wasn't final, we would still be finalizing the edits before it went out to our customers. Does that seem fair? Or should I say any objection to that at this point? All right, thank you. Item 7G, director's fees. Tom, you brought this up, I believe, at the last meeting, and Cameron chimed in. So, Tom, do you want to kick us off on what your concerns are or where you want to go with this?
Well, it seems to me that a gratuity, which is what the $20 fee is, or $20 dues, or however it's expressed on the accounts payable to each individual member of the board, is, you know, kind of wasted. It's commonplace to have some sort of a gratuity for this type of office, but considering how small this is, I think that the fee should either be raised to $100 per board member or eliminated entirely. We're volunteers and elected volunteers, be that as it may, but any other expenses we personally may incur, I suppose, especially for a chair, for example, I'm sure you incur some expenses, I do, that, you know, would, if they're reasonable for travel or anything like that, we submit a voucher for that kind of thing. But as far as the basic director's fee is concerned, I say either eliminate it or make it $100.
Thank you. Michelle?
According to the ORS Special District, 198.190, compensation expenses of governing body members. A member of the governing body of a district may receive an amount not to exceed $50 for each day or portion thereof of compensation for services performed as a member of the governing body. Such compensation shall not be deemed lucrative. The governing body may provide for reimbursement of... Too many funds. Such compensation shall not be deemed lucrative. The governing body shall provide for reimbursement of a member for actual and reimbursable travel and other expenses. So, Tom, $50 in reimbursable expenses is what the Oregon statute states.
But do you say that was, you said $50 a day?
That $50 for each day or portion thereof that as compensation for services performed. Services.
So if we have, I think you could easily extrapolate that to $50 a meeting. So if we have a workshop or that sort of thing. Otherwise, I'd say let's just eliminate it altogether. It costs darn near $20 just to write the checks and the accounting and all that sort of thing.
It absolutely does. Cost more to write the checks.
So my suggestion is to drop it all together then. Unless the other boards think that it'd be something like $50 a meeting or something like that. But I'm open either way. Either way. But personally, I don't need the money. And it costs more to give us $20 than it does to give it to us. So what the hell?
Comments?
Well, it's by the $50 per day. Does that include like workshops and stuff that we do, or budget meetings that we do?
Yes.
So every time we have a budget meeting, we get paid $50?
I would say that it says per day, according to the guidelines Michelle just mentioned. So that would be, yes, $50 per meeting would be or a workshop. You could consider a workshop a meeting. So that would be a practical application.
And special meetings or
yes.
Any type of meeting.
Yes.
How would you feel about just $20 for any of the meetings? Any time that we meet, that we get paid $20.
Well, I think $20 is, ridiculous. I mean, most of the time we only have one meeting a month, but occasionally we have two or three when it's necessary. And, your time's valuable. However, we are volunteers, elected volunteers, trying to do a service for our community. So, I don't care either way, but, I kind of lean toward just eliminating it. A lot of elected type of offices like we are doing right now, there's no compensation other than reimbursement for actual expenses incurred.
What's your take, Ann?
Go ahead, Cameron.
What's your take, Ann? Sean? Carolyn? Somebody?
I see the $20 as an honorarium, just recognizing that you are serving in this position. I don't see a need to increase it. I appreciate that we are prudent in what we do, and if we were to think about increasing it or changing the format relative to a stipend or the honorarium per meeting, we would need to get clarification on whether or not educational workshops for us are considered services or meetings, and they may or may not be. We would want to check in and make sure we're following the ORS entirely with what we made a change in our process, and I would expect that we wouldn't want to make a change in terms of increasing it until the next budget year, because we have already budgeted for this year the amount available for this item. Those are my thoughts.
Well, I'd like to see it $20 for every time we meet. And like you say, to find out the legality of it. Do some research.
Rochelle, did you want to add in?
I think we need to make or clarify that it is per day, not per meeting, because there are days that we have multiple meetings. Executive sessions are counted as meetings. In June, we have a budget hearing and a business meeting, both on the same day, right after each other. So that is entirely up to you guys, but if it's going to be per day, like the ORS says, we need to make that for sure.
I agree.
Ann?
This seems for me to fall into the category of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I didn't expect anything when I ran for this position 100 years ago. I think that $20 is, as you mentioned the word honorarium, I think that's exactly what it is. I don't seek any more If anyone on the board wants to decline it because they think it's not worth the money or the time in processing it, they're free to do that. We had a board member at one time who did do that. I believe from the day he was joined the board, he declined the honorarium, and that's fine. That's anybody's individual choice. So I think we should just leave it the way it is and be flattered that we get the $20 and feel thanked for our service.
John, did you want to weigh in or not?
No.
Thank you. All right. Good discussion at this point. If needed, it'll come back up. Item 8, any guest questions and comments? Do we have any emails from our customers at all? Okay, thank you. Item 9, director comments. All right, hearing none.
Yes.
Cameron?
I'd like to see on the next agenda that we bring up or have a discussion about adopting some Robert rules of orders or pick out where we can maybe start adopting some guidelines. So I'd like to see that on the agenda next month.
Cameron, why don't you and I have a conversation about that, or you and John, before we put it on the agenda so we know what's already there and what's not, and we get some homework done before we're in the middle of a discussion?
You're good with that, John?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm no expert on the topic. I did bring home a book today so I can read and learn more about it. I'm happy to talk to you about it and understand a little bit more about what you'd like to, a little more detail about what you're thinking or what you'd like to see.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right. It is 7:16 and I will adjourn our meeting. Thank you all.